guys. Yes, I even put one of these out a little bit. It's the Getting Real with the Cockney Buddha here in sunny Florida. Hope everybody's having a good weekend and a good start to their Friday. I sure have been. It's been an absolute banger today. Why is it a banger, I hear you asking? Well, it's all wrapped around a dog. So I wanted to do a little bit of a podcast on our, you know, the things that we love as far as our furry friends. I'm talking about some of those that I've had. The low E of some of the breed that I've had. And then going to a complete change and learning new things. So stick with me. Grab yourself a nice cup of tea or coffee or whatever you desire. And listen into this one. Because for me, it's all wrapped around dogs. And like I said, my Friday started off pretty damn good. Because we got a new dog. We got a new dog. Oh, man. So it's so nice to have a new dog. It's like, I don't know. It was just time. My last boy, it's been just over a year now, I think, that he had passed away. And if you'd have asked me, would I have been ready 3 months ago, I would have said no, probably, because I wasn't really ready. He was an absolute gem. And all we've had three dogs now, and each one of them has been a Rottweiler. And it's an absolute amazing, amazing breed. Don't let anybody steer you wrong. I know there's been things out there when it's been wrapped around that. But if you look at statistic wise, as far as bites and stuff, you know, it's the smaller breeds too. Don't think that the smaller dogs, you know, don't bite, because they have a big bite ratio too. All right, I know the difference between a bloody Great Rottie and a Chihuahua or something. Yeah, there's a massive difference here. But, you know, if we're going to be like bite statistics and stuff like that. But anyway, that's neither here or there, because I've never had any. I can only speak for myself, put it that way. So I'm not saying people don't have a problem with it. Of course, I know people do, and I know people have fears, and I'm absolutely aware of that. Even when I used to walk my guys, I would be aware of my surroundings and I would just, you know, but a lot of the times the people that really knew what the breed was would stop and go, oh, how beautiful. And then, I've had many conversations on while walking him, met different people while walking him. And then, you know, you've got the people where I knew to be careful if it was going to be around, you know, never say never. So I was always a bit careful when I had him around other dogs, or if I had other dogs walking the walls. I mean, you can normally tell if the person's got an handle on the dog, which I always had the handle on mine. Apart from the time when my boy did get bit. And that was, again, misjudgment. I actually kind of knew the people, because they lived up the street and they were walking towards me, and I had my boy fully under control. In fact, he didn't do a damn thing, but wanted to, you know, have a look, I guess, or investigate, because he's never, like I say, my guys have been brought up in a household and an environment that is absolutely loving and caring and loving a dog. We just happen to love the breed, because we rescued one. Our first one had liver issues, and someone told us, they said, you looking for a dog? And we're like, yeah, and we was actually looking for a rot from when we lived in our last house. And this poor dog didn't last that long because of all the liver issues. But we went to the full end of that, of purifying the food, and it was crazy. And then when it came to time, it was like horrible, because I hate that moment. God blimey, that's horrible. That's a horrible moment when you get to that point. Oh man, bloody hell, does your head in. But when it came to mine, and then I had my middle rock, who was Max, and a lot of people out there that listen to my podcast, friends of mine know who Max was. He was the protector, I got to say. He was the one that, you know, he wouldn't let you in the house unless he kind of knew you. And there's been some occasions when that's been, you know, I'm glad it was that way. Because there was a fella that knocked on the door once, and we had one of those safety lock things where, you know, you could freaking kick the door and it ain't going to come open, but it just leaves it ajar a little bit. And this geezer didn't look too bleeding clever. And of course, my Max comes walking up, sticks his nose through the freaking door, and it just let him know, like, yeah, you know. But he was an absolute beautiful boy. Absolutely just. I remember my mum came over from England once when he was younger. And we used to have a crate, even though we didn't use it. The only time we used it, if we said go to your crate because of, I don't know, electricians or whatever, right, coming in or walking through the house, or the cable guy or anything like that. And we knew what he was, and we knew he was protective. But so my mum comes in the house, and she's like, oh, because he was a big boy. And my mum goes, oh, and he was all excited. He was just a big bundle of fun, and he just wanted to go and get out to see me mum. And my mum walks in the kitchen. Remember, she ain't been in the country that long. And she walks into the kitchen, and I had him in the crate, and I walked around to the crate, and I said, right, you ready? And she's like, yeah, right, yeah. And I let him out. Oh, my God. I didn't even see him leave the crate. He took off. I'm hearing my mum shout, and he just wanted her to love him. And then in the end, it took like a couple of days, and he was like laying on my mum's feet and wouldn't leave her alone. He would lay down by her side. Very, very, very loyal breed. If you treat them right, they are loyal as shit. They won't do you wrong. I remember being on a computer once, and Max come walking into the room, and he laid down in front of this table. And my oldest daughter was young, real young then. And, you know, we didn't even have my youngest now. But so he comes in, he lays down in front of the table, in front of this table, which was like next to the computer. And I was on the computer. And when I look around, my daughter's standing on him trying to get something over on the other side of the table. And I'm like, hey. And my daughter looks around, and he did not move a muscle. He knew. He knew how to. All my rots have been like this, though. They know how to play certain ways with each member of the family. Like my kids, he'd let him pull him around when he was like younger, and they were younger. He'd let him grab a toy and pull him around. But then as they started getting older, he started getting more competitive. It was crazy. It's crazy to watch. But absolute beautiful, beautiful boy. And then you come to my last guy. Nelson, and I named him after the Admiral Nord Nelson that fought in the Battle of Trafalgar, because I'm so much into it, and I love it. And every time I go like back and I get into Greenwich, I have to go into the museum there, because they've got the uniform there that he was shot in at the Battle of Trafalgar. And I've read a great book on that whole thing. I mean, it's an awesome book. It's an awesome story. The museum lays it out beautifully. So if you're ever over in London and you go to Greenwich, my family originated from there, But go to Greenwich and then go to the museum. You'll like it, especially if you like things to do with boats and ships and nautical stuff. It's really a cool museum. But so he named him Nelson after the admiral, and he was a completely different character. Holy shit! He was completely different. I swear he knew every single word that came out of your mouth. Just an absolute gem. And as he got a little older, he started to tune into my anxiety and my depressions and stuff like that. And there's been many times when he's just like come up underneath my arm, when I could be crying, sobbing, and he just showed his face, and that was it. It would put you in a different frame of mind, in a different mood, and bring you around. And if you were down, he just followed you. He just knew. And it was when he passed, he had a back problem. Well, first of all, he jumped and he broke one of his back legs. I was in the kitchen and it sounded like a child screaming. I was like, and I ran, and he didn't know what he was doing. He was all over the place. And the only thing, that's when I knew he was hurting, was because I had to jump on him pretty much to get him, because he was freaking all over the place. And I thought, I've got to get him down. And he kind of snapped at me, but he didn't bite, but he went. And I thought, oh, shit, yeah. And I didn't know where he was hurt. And my youngest came up behind and she goes, Dad, it's his leg. And when I looked down, I could see it was all swollen up. And I thought, ah, oh, that ain't good. And so it turned out that they diagnosed cancer in his leg. So he ended up having that leg amputated, and he was doing absolutely awesome. I mean, he was brilliant. And I said to my wife, I said, it wasn't the bloody cancer that got him, because I really do think that they got it. We found a freaking absolute killer vet down on, anybody in Central Florida knows 50, just down on 50 by us, but not far from 419. He did the work, and when we found him, because we went through a couple of different places, and he did an absolute bang up job. And he started to balance on the three leg. You wouldn't even know. He was fine. We used to call him up along. But then he started to go downhill, and he couldn't get up and all that. Anyway, cut long story short, he ended up with a bone. There was a bone spur in his freaking back that was pinching off a nerve, and they couldn't do anything about it. Ah, really? Boy, oh boy. You beat one thing and then the freaking, he did, yeah, it was his back. And, you know, it didn't get better. It progressively got worse, and it to the point where he couldn't even go outside and take a dump. You know, we had freaking diapers, and it was just that time of like, right, when is it? Because the one thing he taught me is, because I was on my journey, was he started to get me a little bit in touch with the selfishness that we can have. He taught me something. And, you know, we can learn from our animals. We really can learn. They really will. Horses are the best, apparently. But we really can learn from what they tune into with emotion and everything. It's amazing. But so I think we get a little bit in touch with the selfish side of ourselves, and it gets in the way. But what I did this time, yeah, I could feel that coming in and wanting to keep him there. But at the same time, the Buddhism side was coming in, and, you know, I don't know if this is like in different religions. I know Buddhism is, and it's that acceptance of letting go, and looking at the... And this is going to sound crazy because I can't even believe I'm saying it myself, but looking at the beauty side of what is happening, and I know that sounds absolutely nuts, but the teachings were there. He was teaching me something. He really was, and about patience and accepting the loss and not holding on and, you know, looking at him instead of myself and that selfishness again. So when we picked the day, you know, that night I went out and got, there was a big old steak and eggs and I think chips or something. I don't know why. I can't remember, but it was a steak. It was a steak and eggs and that. And I cut it all up in little pieces and he couldn't move. He was just laying on his side. And I sat there that night and fed him whatever he bloody well wanted. God, boy. Whew. Wow. I didn't think that would do that. Anyway, not on a podcast, but, you know, this is what it's all about. It's all about getting real. It's all about getting real. And anyway, getting on to the one we got now, which is an absolute holy crap. I thought he liked the hose and played with the hose, but I think we got given a bit of a porky pie there because... we went to go and watch him today, and I thought I was going to watch my right arm like slide across the freaking lawn because I had him by the collar. By the way, we've gone completely different. We rescued this guy. He was in a foster home, and he got rescued right before he was going to. He was in a kill shelter, and he got rescued right before he was going to get, you know. Just don't even like thinking about it because everything has a right to live. So he got rescued and then my wife has been checking through. And when she first started checking on this site and different humane societies and all that, I still wasn't ready for a dog. So she's been checking for quite a while and she kept showing me pictures. And I knew because so many, we have an American pit bull. And so many of these breeds, it's really sad. Like the Rottweiler, you know, Rottweilers taught me shit. Now I want a different teaching, you know. So I went because these poor animals, these poor, what everybody looks at as, I don't like people really even joking about it because it's not a joke. I know there is people out there that have had situations with animals like this. I get it. I understand it. But it's, you know, they are the ones that get put on these in the kill line pretty quick. And already this bloody dog is teaching me shit. Right? First thing is, you know, don't wrap your hand up in the collar when the dog is scared of water. Holy shit. I literally thought, it looked like afterwards, like I'd been dragged through the freaking jungle after taking grenades or something. I was like soaking wet. My missus in the end got to the point where she's like, okay, you ready? And like looking at me like, you're going to get wet. And I had hold of him and I'm like, yeah, because we had to get him freaking rid. I look like shit. Holy shit. I'm like, what? If anybody's got any tips or tricks or, you know, I got one from the Grom tonight. He got on the blower with me because I was like, dude, I just got freaking beat to shit trying to wash the dog. And I had his collar, I had my fingers underneath his collar and I had hold of him. And I'm pretty friggin', you know, like I say, if you're going to have a breed like a rot, you got to make sure you can handle it, right? You got to show a little bit of dominance. So I had underneath the collar, but as soon as my missus come at him with the freaking cup of water, which all of a sudden was a little bit too much because I was splashing water on him, like trying to get him used to it and rubbing it under his chin and shit. And then my missus goes, here's a cup. And that was it. Fuck, here we go. And he's like, I'm going to go that way. And it was like completely like, you know, 180 from where I had hold him on his collar. So I'm like, oh, say goodbye to your fucking arm, matey. Oh, damn. Holy shit. And then I'm shouting to my wife, you got him, because she's got the freaking lead. And I'm like, have you got him? She's shouting, yeah, let him go. And I'm like, oh my God. But he's an absolute gem. He's an absolute beautiful, just already, when he walked through the door, I fell in love. He comes straight at me. I crouch down, forgetting, you know, I ain't had one of these dogs in, like I say, in over a year. And I forgot when my guys were puppies that they were, you know, they don't know their own strength, especially Rots. Rots grow up to be that even old age and they still think they're freaking one, right? And they come at you like that. So he's come through the bloody door. He's a year and a half and he's already muscly and shit. And he's come at, boom, and I've gone down. He headbutted my youngest daughter because he's so excited and wants to play and he's new people and... And he, you know, he's calmed down there. He's sniffing around. He can still smell, you know, our dog that we had. And we've only had him a few hours. We've hardly had him at all. And I think, you know, hitting him with the bloody water. But it just shows there's something there with the water, you know. And some people can use water as punishment. And you don't know. You don't know what kind of situations, you know. But I tell you one thing. He didn't once, not once, go for any of us. Not once. And I was grabbing hold of him and, you know, he would have known it. Even when we put the food in his bowl, because he needed some bloody food in him. And that's how he got the name Bloody Dyson, because my wife goes, you want some rice? And he follows it to the fridge and she puts some rice in his bowl because we ain't got dog food yet. She puts rice in the bowl. When I look around, it's gone. I'm like, holy shit. Did that even touch the sides there? What the? Holy shit. And then he's going around the floor and he's picking up all the bits and pieces, like bits of crumbs and shit. And my wife goes, holy shit, he's a damn vacuum. And I'm like, Dyson, because I like Dyson. Because my, you know, again, it's only a personal thing, guys. I'm not dogging anything. But my wife bought a bloody, we needed a new vacuum, and she bought a Shark. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Because I do like the Dyson. I'm sorry. I'm particular. I can't help it. That bloody vacuum is a good vacuum. And he's got an head like a Dyson. So, he's in. So he is now part of the family, and it's strange having a dog about again. It's got a certain natural ring to it, but at the same time, it's still kind of strange. I think it's because he is a different breed, and we're so used to the same breed, but this guy is going to he's already picking up certain signals, and I was teaching him leave it with bits of apple tonight because the poor guy is freaking constipated and shit, but... Yeah, if anybody, I forgot what I was saying. If anybody's got any freaking tips or anything, the Gromster, the 30-year-old Grom, go and check him out. Check his channel out. Great channel. Does Friday night lives at 5:45. 5:45 our time, Eastern time, US. And it's 10:45 over there in the UK GMT time. It's got a great channel going. Go and check him out. But we got chin wagging after, and you know he had some good pointers as well. But I'd like to get a load more because I'm like, oh my God, okay, we got game on, game on. I tell you what, it takes away from what you're thinking about mentally a lot. I'll tell you that right now, it's something completely different. And that's what I'm going to tell you, because I know there's, you know, people have dogs for therapy dogs and that, and I've seen it in the work that I do myself. Helped somebody with that once. I actually, you know, managed to call in a favor and stuff. But you know, and it's, but just having one around, I'm already noticing that this guy's following me around a bit, and. I can see how through, you know, as I keep being around him and training him and shit like that, and then getting him, we're going to put him on a halter because to put him on a regular collar and lead was like, hey, yay, yay. My youngest says, oh, I'll take him out back. I said, get ready. You freaking need grass skis. But it's just going to take a bit of training. We brought our rots up on the Halti, and it just goes over their nose. It doesn't restrict anything, that they can still bite and eat and everything. But all it does is it connects differently underneath their chin. I'd recommend it to anybody. If you've got a dog that pulls, get a Halti collar. Halti collar. Don't ask me how to spell it, but Halti collar. It's a great collar. And it turns their head. When they go to try and pull, it turns their head. And I've trained my last guy on it, and I had to stop. I trained him from a puppy. And I had to stop a few times and just wait. And then he'd pull, and his head would and then I had him. And he was good as gold. And I had certain ways that I would use my voice that, you know, kind of putting a bit my own slant on it, and he understood and shit like that. But a Halti collar, it's a great collar. So we're going to get him on one of those and that. But anyway, yes, you know, whatever your animal pet preference is, you know, they're there for a reason when it comes to our mental health. Whatever it is, they all help us. Cats and. My daughter's got guinea pigs that are absolutely awesome. I find myself in there a lot of the times too. Feeding them bits of straw and whatever. They're right literally across from the room that I work in through the week. So I pop in there every, you know, after. Then anyway, go and follow me, guys. Go and give me some love, yeah? I've got a YouTube channel out there. And give me some love on this channel. My YouTube channel, just look up Cockney Buddha and go and check me out. I also have my link tree at the bottom of this podcast. And I've also found this website called the Alliance of Therapy Dogs. Go and check them out. I'm going to work on seeing if I can get it in the description so you can have a look. So it seems like it's a charity. I've only just found them. But I hope everybody has a great weekend out there. I know some are having a little bit of a struggle. You know who you are, and you know I'm talking to you. It will all work out. Put the energy out there. Get around your pets, guys. Thank you for listening.